I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove Conversations, talking about creative projects from the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Jonathan Burns is a touring comedian, magician, and contortionist based in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Jonathan puts on a wild show filled with everything from knife juggling to magic tricks to taking off his underwear without taking off his pants, all sprinkled with lighthearted interactive humor for people of all ages and all walks of life. I had a chance to chat with Jonathan about how he first got into performing and where his unique talents have taken him so far. Well, joining me in the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Jonathan Burns. Thank you so much for coming down.
Sure thing, yeah.
And talking with me. I don't know if I'm going to get this right, so maybe I'm just going to ask you to describe what you do.
I call it a comedy contortion and stunt show. So it's everything from comedy and just interaction with the audience, making them laugh, to fitting myself through things and inside of things, as well as some dangerous stunts, maybe some juggling some knives and fire, those sorts of things. And then unique tricks like removing my underwear without taking my pants off.
Right. Yeah. Which apparently... Jay Leno thought was cool.
Yeah. I got to do his show a few years ago, and got to do that in front of millions of people on TV. So
you don't hear that every day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I saw your show at 321 Lancaster, and it was amazing. I mean, what really impressed me about the show was the variety.
Oh, okay.
Of what you brought. You know, like I wasn't sure what was going to happen, and was this going to be a comedy act? Was it going to be magic?
Sure, yeah. It makes it hard to describe sometimes, too, even for myself. Like, that's why I've tried over the years. It's changed, and it's, you know, gone into different things. I used to do just a magic show, and then I kind of added all these different weird skills into the show, and now it's a variety show more than anything.
Yeah, it's great.
Thanks.
And great for all ages. I mean, there were little tiny kids there.
Sure.
Ones who didn't even know what was going on.
Sure. Sometimes they get into it just because their parents are into it, or their bigger brothers and sisters are into it. So if sometimes I find that I'm entertaining the parents a lot more than the kids, but the kids still are having fun because they see the adults around them having fun.
Right.
It's a little. There's something in it for everyone, for sure.
There's a lot of movement and action and color, and kids are just sort of into that.
Yeah, exactly. Just the visual aspect of it is fun as well.
But I loved how you played off the adult stuff.
For sure. Yeah,
there's flirting and that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
So how does one become? We'll just slice this apart a little bit. A contortionist. You always have to have the build for it, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm kind of a tiny guy. So I was always able to do these weird tricks with my body, and I never thought about doing it as like a show or an act. But in middle school, I got really into magic, and I was really into these magic tricks and things. And eventually, somebody asked me to do a show, and I did like a magic show. And then years later, I threw in these weird tricks I used to do as a kid, like putting my arm over my head or sticking my leg over my head and dancing around or whatever. I would kind of throw those into the show later on. So that the contortion and kind of took over the variety show more than anything. So now that's kind of one of the big draws, I guess, for me, and makes me a little bit unique compared to some other variety performers.
Yeah, I would say it stands apart.
Yeah, know? Definitely. It's
So it was magic that was first?
Yeah, it was in middle school, a magic shop opened up near my house, and somebody knew the magician who opened it up, so I went there, and I would hang out like every weekend and learn a few tricks, and then just kind of go back and show pretty much anyone who would watch. Like, I'd repeat it over and over at school, or for family members, my brother, or just basically anyone who would give me the time to show them how to...
Right.
You know, make a card disappear or try to find their card or, you know, whatever trick I picked up that week.
Talk about that culture a little bit. So you're in Johnstown.
Right? Yeah.
Which is Western Pennsylvania, and close to my heart because I grew up in that area as well. So a magician opens a magic shop. And I know there's this whole culture around magicians and, you know, the secrets and all that. So what's it like as a middle school kid? walking into this.
Well, this particular magic shop was opened up in the back room of a pizzeria.
Which the mystique is even greater.
Yeah, exactly. So it wasn't necessarily like, you know, not like it wasn't like Hogwarts or anything like that. You're not walking into anything like that. This was just like a side closet where the guy had some the owner of the pizzeria had some extra room and he let this guy open this shop up. But to me, it was like the coolest place. It was like Disney World. Like it was like the coolest place ever. And the guy who owned it was a young guy as well. He was actually in college studying for business or marketing. And he, instead of doing an internship, he decided to open up his own business, and he knew about magic, so voila, it all kind of worked out. And so I went in there, and I would take these lessons with him.
Okay.
And he kind of, you know, showed me the tricks of the trade. So sometimes people, you know, magicians don't reveal their secrets, but if they know somebody else is going to use the secrets in a, I guess for good,
that and they not evil.
Yeah, exactly. So he taught me these great tricks, and there's some of the things he taught me are like still things that I use today, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, which is pretty crazy. Like just those fundamentals that I can use all the time.
Just knowing that area and its the economic depression that came over it in the last 20 or 30 years. It's really a remarkable. That you were fortunate enough, right, to have this intersection.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was kind of weird. I guess it's one of those fate things.
It's fate, yeah.
Yeah, that it popped up at the time it did. And, you know, being a middle school kid, you don't know what to do, and you have lots of free time. So it was like the perfect hobby, and it meshed so many things, I think. And my parents really encouraged me to go down, and they always gave me some money to get some new things. And
oh, that's cool.
They were really encouraging of it, which was nice.
So you you ended up in Lancaster to go to college.
Yeah.
And did you continue with your performing throughout that time?
Yeah, I did. So a few years after I started, I was doing tricks at somebody's party. I think maybe somebody's graduation party. And somebody from their neighborhood asked, like, would you do my daughter's birthday party? And I said, sure. And so when I started doing birthday parties, that kind of grew. So that was sort of my job through high school instead of working at McDonald's or anywhere else. Yeah, it was nice. You know, I got to go and put on a sparkly vest and, you know, just entertain, 8-year-olds at birthday parties. So I continued doing that all through high school. And then even through college, that was like my main summer job. And I would do it during the school year a little bit here and there as well. So, yeah, it kind of became a business, like beyond a hobby, and it was just sort of word of mouth, people saying, hey, check this guy out, and I feel like it taught me a lot, not only about performing and being in front of people, but like business and,
sure.
and all kinds of other aspects.
Well, what were you in school for?
I went to Millersville for art education.
Okay.
So I was in the art department. I originally started in computer science, where I quickly found out that was not for me, it was too structured and it all had to be done a certain way. So when I stumbled into the art building and they were encouraging of my creativity and being different, and I actually got rewarded for being different, I was like, this is where I need to be. And I had one semester in computer science, and then the rest of the time I was in the art building.
What medium?
I did a lot of graphic design.
Okay.
and computer art, but I took classes on like all kinds of fine arts as well. Everything from painting to lithography, and kind of covered all those bases as well.
How, from a creative perspective, how did that influence, or did it influence, kind of what you were doing with your show and with?
It definitely did. One thing that it's still helps out with is all the promotional materials and things that I have to have available. It taught me all those things, which was great.
Sure, the commercial art aspect.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Like as far as the business aspect of the showbiz, I use those things all the time, and I'm really happy that I'm able to do that stuff myself and get those things ready. But just I think being rewarded for the creativity of things was always great. Like so many people in the art building were trying to be really deep. They felt like art had to be deep and it had to be emotional and they had, you know, rip them from the soul, where to me it was more, I was like, you can I can make a print that's a joke. Like it didn't, it could be something lighthearted and funny. Like there was no really deep meaning. And I got like that kind of reaction out of people. So I guess that kind of set me aside from some of the kids who were there and, you know, black lipstick and, you know, dark mascara and things. So I kind of took a lighthearted approach to a lot of the art projects that I did. And I think people took notice in the art building and encouraged that. And they wanted me to push that even further.
So now you're out of school and this performing turns into, is it full time?
Yeah. So I graduated from Millersville in 2004. And since then I've been able to do it full time. Cause I've been doing it, you know, like I said, during the school year or during the summers. So I was able to roll that into something, that would be my job. First couple of years were rough, but I made it through, which is nice. And now I tour. I'm on the road a lot during the year. I don't know exactly how many days. It always changes month to month. But so I'm always somewhere new and doing my thing, which is awesome.
What kind of gigs are you getting
most? I do a lot of colleges and universities during the school year. And then in the summers, I do a lot of festivals, everything from arts festivals to street performer festivals. And basically, street performer festivals, they have them all throughout the world. There's a lot of them in Canada. So the last couple summers, I spent my time in Canada from different areas and doing like these weekend-long or sometimes week-long festivals.
Are you solo when you're traveling?
For the most part. Last summer, my wife came along with me, which was awesome. She's a school teacher. Oh. So she had her summer off, and we were able to do a cross-country tour starting from the end of June till mid-August together.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it was great. We had 45 days on the road, and a lot of people were kind of just, you know, like, are you sure you want to be stuck in the car together for 45 days? But it was like, it was unbelievable. It was really great. Because most of the time, our schedules are so different. She has the regular, you know, she gets there at 7 in the morning, and she's there till 4 or 5 at night. And I'm usually home during that time and then out in the evenings doing shows and things.
Sure.
So, so sometimes the opposite schedule things hard, but that was a really nice trip to get out together.
Can you think of, or is there a particular performance? Like, what's the wildest situation you've found yourself in you know what I mean? That maybe you weren't expecting.
Sure.
Because I can imagine, like, as a musician, you find yourself in interesting places.
Yeah.
But as a contortionist slash magician slash comedian, sure. I can imagine you don't quite know what you're getting.
Sometimes you don't. Like certain things, you kind of have an idea. Like, you know, after I was doing so many birthday parties when I first started out, like I kind of knew what I was going to jump into. But there would be, every once in a while, I'd be stuck basically being the babysitter for these kids. And all the parents would be off on their own. And I was just, you know, stuck with 58-year-olds who just wanted to pummel me and yell and not pay attention and that kind of stuff. So you sort of learn skills that way, which is good. Lately, I did a few club gigs recently, which I didn't know what I was getting into. One was last summer where I showed up at this club where they're having this event, and I got there. I was at another event, and I said, I'm going to be running kind of close to time. And they said, oh, that's fine. So I got there, and they were like, oh, you're on in 5 minutes. So I had to hurry up, get ready. I ran out there, and I'm standing in front, like in this discotheque stage where these lights are spinning all over the round. There's like a stripper pole to my left, and there's like 150 screaming people in front of me just yelling and throwing dollar bills at me. So, yeah, I was like, and I just kind of did my thing, and I got out of there, and they liked it, luckily, but it was just bizarre. I had no idea what I was getting into. So I got to be an exotic dancer for the evening, which was fine.
You could add that to your resume.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. My guest today is Jonathan Burns, a comedian, magician, and contortionist. Is there a most memorable gig, like the biggest, most prestigious gig?
The Jay Leno thing was great. Like, that was a lot of fun. I got a call Friday, and then Monday I was on a plane to Los Angeles. Like, it was kind of a exciting, you know, like, whoa. Like, I didn't know anyone would take notice, like, for TV stuff or anything
sure.
like that. So that was exciting. Some of the international gigs I've done have been great. A few years ago, I went to China for this. It's called the World Clown Festival. And so it's like clowns from all over, all like international. So like, obviously the world,
right? not intergalactic.
That's right. Yeah, just you know, Earth clowns. But they, that was great. Like I got to hang out with all these former Ringling clowns, and
wow,
just met a lot of great people, and it was just neat to be in a different, like it felt like a totally different planet being in China. And that was just something new for me. I'd never done. That was my first like time flying out of the country, and that was really just exciting. You know, it was sort of neat to be the minority. Like that was, it was just different from, you know, being a normal white guy here and not being noticed often,
right?
And to being there and like people are staring at you, like, what do you do? Like, where are you from? And you know, wanting to know more about you.
Well, thank you so much for coming down and sharing this with us.
Sure thing. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you bet. This has been great to dig in, and I look forward to getting to see you play again.
Yeah.
Hopefully, in this area. I know you're on the road a lot.
Yeah, I'm usually out of the area. Sort of a weird thing. So it usually takes me away from here. But I think there's coming up in Lancaster hopefully soon.
All right, well, check them out, and I'll make sure to put dates that I find in the show notes.
Okay, great.
All right, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks.
Jonathan Burns is a touring comedian, magician, and contortionist based in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. For more details about Jonathan, find him on the web at flexiblecomedy.com. You can also link up from our website, woodstovehouse.com, where you can listen to previous episodes, subscribe to the show, leave feedback, or drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help keep the show going. You can also hear Around the Woodstove on Stitcher Smart Radio. Download the free Stitcher app from the Android or iOS App Store and listen to this program along with thousands more without downloading or syncing. Stitcher is the smart way to listen to radio. Around the Woodstove is a production of the Woodstove House. Find us on the web at woodstovehouse.com.